Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here with you again tonight. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' precious name. You put your words in my mouth and you hasten to perform it. You give me boldness, Father, to preach your word, and that you stretch forth your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders are done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory. You said you would watch over your word to perform it, Lord. You said to go preach the gospel, and they did, and you said that they went forth and they preached everywhere, and you worked with them, confirming your word with signs following. So we thank you in advance for all of these things in Jesus' name. And all the saints said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about you got the stuff. You know, it's going to kind of follow up what Angela said. You know, I believe that it is God's perfect will for people like you, the believers, the saints, to come in and get trained and educated and matured to go and do the work of the ministry. That's what Ephesians says. Ephesians 4, if you look verse 8 and then 11 and 12. Really the responsibility of the ministers is to fill the pulpit, and it's the responsibility of the saints to fill the chairs. Well, I got a couple of amens, but anyway. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man be in Christ, and I believe all of you are. Let me just ask you, if Jesus is your Lord, raise your hand. I thought I was talking to the saints tonight. And he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, not an old creep. Amen. He said, old things are passed away. I am so glad my old man is dead. And I work, me and my wife and the Holy Ghost help keep him dead. Amen. We don't want him resurrected. Angela talked about it this morning, and some of you know my testimony. I was a drug dealer and a drug addict for 13 years, in and out of the penitentiary. But that old man is dead. And the only time I mention that is to help others see where I came from. And but, you know, she's really got a better testimony than me. She got born again at about 5 years old, and as a young teenager got filled with the Holy Spirit and followed the plan of God all her life. But thank God, it don't matter where you came from. All that matters is where you are today and what you're doing today for Jesus.
Yes.
So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then he said in verse 21, he said, he made him, God made Jesus to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like to say it this way. Jesus became everything I was, so I could be everything he is. Wow. See, and the things I'm going to share with you tonight is going to help you step into the place that the blood of Jesus has provided for you and act like a son and daughter of Almighty God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul knew he had something from God to give to others to help them to be established. You know, and those of us that are ministers, and really you, we ought to know that we've got something. We've got the greater one living on the inside of us. But in order to get rid of our stinking thinking, even religious thinking, even good ways of thinking, We need to think like the Bible thinks. We need to think like Jesus thinks. And I'm just going to give you some scriptures to meditate on. We meditate on these ourselves before we go and minister. So he said in Romans 1:11, Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. You need to know that when you encounter people that are lost, you've got something for them. I said, you got something for them. I mean, we used to tell our graduates that when we were in the Czech Republic in Poland, they graduated, and we didn't tell them so that they would be haughtier or think they were better than anybody, but they knew more from 9 months of Bible school than most of the ministers in all the country. That was because they were taught the Word of God, and they got to be partakers of the move of the Spirit of God. So Paul said, he said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That's what church is all about. You come and you learn the word. Now, you shouldn't be studying the word on your own. I got one amen. I said, you shouldn't be studying the word on your own. Amen. You know, think about it. Naturally speaking, how many meals did you have today? Zero. Well, you must be fasting or something. Okay, that's right. Okay, but most of us already had two meals, right? And I hope the pastor takes us out. So usually we eat three meals a day. Well, what do we do? How do we do that spiritually? You know, because Jesus was always talking about natural things and spiritual things and relaying them together. We eat natural food to keep us, sustain us naturally. We need to eat spiritual food to sustain us spiritually. Anyway, that's another lesson for another time. So we've got something for you tonight, but you know what? You've got something for others. That's why you're here. You're here to be trained to go out into your mission field and help others in the shape that you was in at one time. So you've got something for others. Say this with me. Say, I've got the goods. You know, think about it. Why didn't God, when we got saved, why didn't God just beam us up into heaven? You ever thought about that? I'll tell you why. God left us here on earth between hell and people trying to get there.
Amen.
You know, I am so glad David Reeves was the man that got in my face, got in my path, and showed me the Word of God. And the Word of God is what changed my life. I would be in hell or prison right today if he had not done what Jesus asked him to do. What Angela was talking about this morning, sharing the gospel with me. First of all, he loved me. I mean, you know, sometimes it's easy to love those that are in the body. They're loving people. But sometimes it's difficult to love those that are really hateful and mean. But Jesus tells us to do that, doesn't he? And we can love them into the kingdom as far as preach them into the kingdom. So let's look at Philemon. This is the main scripture I want to focus in. Philemon chapter 1, verse 4, and we'll start reading through verse 6. He said, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective. That word effective means powerful or active. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. How? I'm glad you asked. By acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By acknowledging every God thing which is in us. By acknowledging every good thing which is in us causes the sharing of our faith to be more effective and more powerful. See, when we acknowledge Christ or Jesus in us, the greater one in us, we become more effective in presenting the gospel message to people. Say this with me. I've got the goods.
I've got the goods.
You know the story in chapter 3. We're going to look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. But let me give you a little background. Peter and John, they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they see this crippled man. And the Bible says they laid him there. He had to have these men come and lay him there because he had never walked from his mother's womb. I mean, you could imagine his legs not really, the muscles not developing properly. And he's begging because that's the only way he can keep his stomach filled is just by begging and asking other people to help him. And Peter and John, they're going to the temple to pray. And Peter says, I don't have any silver. Let's just read that. He said, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. See, Peter knew he had something.
Yes.
We need to know we got something. We got something for the world. We're the only hope that the world has. That's why we come. We get trained so that we'll have something to give other people. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, just think about your own personal life. You know, most of us got saved through a one-on-one encounter. Now, some people get saved, and like Angela mentioned this morning, in Billy Graham crusades or big crusades or church services, but most of us get saved on a one-on-one encounter by another Christian telling us their testimony and what Jesus did for them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And so he reaches down, he takes that man by the hand, and we know the rest of the story. He was instantly healed. That's a miracle. Now, he got a healing, but there was a miracle involved as well, because the Bible says he begins to leap and praise God. Now, you can't leap if you don't have any muscles in your legs. So he instantly received a miracle in his legs, in his muscles. Peter knew he had something, not because he walked with Jesus, but Peter knew he had something because he knew Jesus walked in him. Now, I don't know, Pastor, do you know Buzzy Southerman? You ever heard of him? He was an old country boy. He's in southern Arkansas. And you could talk with him for just a few minutes, and you could tell he had no education. But he was a ruffian. He had been an alcoholic and a Golden Gloves boxer. And somebody got him gloriously saved. And one day he had a vision. He was looking across the room, and he saw Jesus walking toward him. And Jesus kept walking and walking and walking and got closer to him. He got face to face with him, and he thought Jesus just walked through him, and he turned around to look and see where Jesus was going, and Jesus walked right into him. That's what happened to us at the new birth. Hallelujah. Jesus came to take up residence on the inside of him, and Jesus wants to flow his miracle and healing power through our hands. Jesus wants to talk through our mouths. Jesus wants to use our mind to give people to help them. To use his wisdom so that we can help others. John chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus begins to prophesy about the new birth, and he begins to prepare them for what was about to take place at their new birth. And he said this in John 14, 17. He said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." Wow, we could take off and preach a series of messages on that. You know him, but he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, at that point in time, Jesus had not been crucified, had not been buried and resurrected. He walked and talked with his disciples, the 12, the 70, and many others in his ministry, but he was not able to live in them. Now, because of the new birth, Jesus lives on the inside of each and every believer. The great, mighty Holy Spirit lives on each inside, lives inside each and every believer.
Amen.
And see, when we recognize that, that gives us power, ability to let the Jesus of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us work through us. No one that's born again need not ever be afraid or shameful of sharing what they know about Jesus. Because the world won't ever know unless we tell them. I said the world won't ever know unless we tell them. You know, thank God for many years now. It's been 40 years for me. Some of you may be more. Some of you may be less. But July 6, 1983, this old boy got set free. And I've had the opportunity to learn a lot about him. Let him use me. You know, I used to tell my church people and the students in the school, I said, you know, it really helps me to know that if God can use a donkey in the old covenant, he can use me in the new covenant. That helps you keep from getting prideful. So, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, lives on the inside of us. Say this with me. Because Jesus lives in me,
because Jesus lives in me,
I've got the goods.
I've got the goods.
I read this once, and I read it, wrote it in the leaf of my Bible. I am obligated to heaven to produce the results that Jesus died and paid for. I live with no options. Whew. Man, what a great privilege it is to be able to let Jesus use us. I want to give you some points to ponder. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind, or the Greek word also means attitude, let this mind, or let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus never backed up on any situation. He always had an answer. I said he always had an answer because he was one with God. Jesus was always saying that the Father in me, he does the works. I only do what I see my Father say. I only say what I hear my Father says. The Father in me, he does the works. See, we need to have that same attitude. He's on the inside of us, and it doesn't matter what I encounter, I already got the answer. I've got the answer. Just be quiet. Angela was talking about being led. You know, being led is not only knowing where to be at the right place in the right time. Being led is always just listening on the inside. Because, you know, even when we minister, there's many times, I know the pastor will tell you the same thing, there's many times we'll say things way outside our notes, something we never even contemplated because somebody in the sanctuary needed to hear a specific word or phrase. So we've got that same attitude, that same mindset. So we can cherish the same views that he did because he lives in us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. It says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received, let me ask you, is that past, present, or future? That's past. You've received the anointing. When you got born again, you received that anointing. That bondage-breaking anointing. That demon-chasing anointing. You received it. There's no need to ever be afraid of anything or anybody. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. But that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. See, it's a dual working. We're in him, he's in us. We're in him and he's in us. It's just like putting your hand in a glove. He's in there and he's able and he's willing to work through us when we let him. I said, when we let him. You know, God doesn't ever force us to do anything. If he would force people to do things, he would force the whole world to get saved, and then Jesus would come back and this whole thing would be over. But he doesn't force us to be saved. He's given us a free will. And I imagine it's cost him a whole lot to give people a free will. But aren't you glad you got a free will? Yes. We can willfully choose him and we can willfully allow him to use us. Because, say this with me, because Jesus lives in me, I've got the goods. Let me give you some context here in 1 John 4:4. He's talking about evil spirits, false prophets, and co-workers of Satan. And he said this in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. He's greater. The greater one lives on the inside of us. See, all of these scriptures are basically saying the same thing. We're acknowledging him that's on the inside of us. See, we need to be stop being self-conscious and start being God-conscious. Because the more God-conscious we are, the less self-conscious we'll be.
Amen.
See, a lot of times we think, well, what if? What if I say this and they don't receive it? Well, what if you do? What if you say things, or what if you do things, or what if I lay hands on somebody and nothing happens? I don't know everything there is to know about how the power of God works, but I do know that he told me if I would lay hands on the sick, they would recover.
Yes, he did.
And it's not up to me to bring about the healing. It's up to me to deliver what God said to deliver by the laying on of hands.
Amen.
It's between the person and the that receives it. Amen?
Yeah.
It says, because he who is in me is greater than he that's in the world. I'll read that to you in the Passion Translation. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. Far greater. By acknowledging every good thing which is in us causes the sharing of our faith to be more effective and more powerful. Say this with me. Because the greater one lives in me.
Because the greater one lives in me.
I've got the goods.
I've got the goods.
Has anyone ever heard of John G. Lake? He was an apostle. He was sent to South Africa. And he had this revelation that we're about to read. And he imparted this revelation to people around him. And because of this revelation that we're about to read, there were 650 churches started, not just through him, but the people that was joined to him and got this same revelation. 650 churches were started in 5 years' time. Almost makes me ashamed. You know, we were on that field for 18 years, and as far as we know, there's about 40 churches that were started. But he had this revelation of Christ living in him. And then he took this same revelation, and he moved to Spokane, Washington, and started some healing homes, and he trained healing technicians, and they would get requests. People would write in and say, I'm sick, and I've got this wrong or this wrong, and he would send them out two by two, and he told the people, he said, and don't come back till you get them healed.
Amen.
But the newspapers put an article out, and they had over 100,000 documented healings.
Wow.
Because he was able to transmit this revelation to the people that worked with him. And this is the revelation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. He said, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. You know, the Bible never says ain'ts. We're not ain'ts, we're saints. Amen. But he said, but now it has been revealed. When was it revealed? I'm glad you asked. About 2,000 years ago. This revelation was revealed, and this is the revelation. To them, God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ and his anointing in you, the hope of glory. What's hope? It's expectancy. What's the glory? God's manifested presence and power. So we could say it like this. Christ, the anointing in us. God's manifested presence and power to flow out of us.
Amen.
Flow out of our mouths, flow out of our hands. However we're led to minister to people, it's there. We've got the goods, folks.
Amen.
Come on, we got the goods. By acknowledging every good work which is in us causes the sharing of our faith to be more effective, more powerful.
Yes.
Say this with me. Because Christ lives in me.
Because Christ lives in me.
I got the goods.
I've got the goods.
Romans 1:11. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in heaven. Where? It dwells in us. And he raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the spirit who dwells in you. Now just think about this. In the beginning, in Genesis, we see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity working together. And it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the faces of the water. God had a plan, and the Holy Spirit was able and willing to bring that pass, that plan into fruition, but there was one element that was lacking. What was it? God said. And when God spoke, the Holy Spirit began to work and cause creation. Now that's wonderful, but you know, but then God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a plan in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus was down in the pit of hell paying for your sins and my sins, and God says, that's it. He's paid the price. Holy Spirit, go get him. So God sent the Holy Spirit down into the pits of hell where Satan and all his cohorts had Jesus locked up and chained up, and Satan thought he had won this thing, but he didn't. You know, I think it's in Corinthians, it says if Satan and his cohorts had known what was going to happen, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. You know, Satan always thinks he knows best, but he doesn't. We know better.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because we've got the greater on the inside of. But just think about it. The Holy Spirit went down and raised Jesus from the dead. So you got Satan and all his cohorts that could not stop the Lord of glory from coming up out of the pits of hell.
Amen.
Because he paid the price for us. See, these two scenarios, there's one difference. There was no resistance in the beginning, but there was all the resistance of the universe trying to stop Jesus from being raised from the dead so that we could be born again. Whoa! We got that spirit that tore hell wide open, living on the inside of us. That's why I said we should never back up concerning anything. You know, I heard a story one time, or read a story about Lester Sumrall. And he said, I never back up for anything. Well, we had an opportunity to spend some time with Dr. Barkley. He came up under Brother Sumrall, and we asked him. I said, Doc, I heard that Lester Sumrall, he had a garage, and it had two doors on it. One door would open, he'd pull into it, and when we got ready to go somewhere, he wouldn't back out of it. The other door would open, and he would drive out of it. Lester Sumrall never backed up for nothing. He said, yeah, that's true. He said, I've been to his home.
Wow.
Woo! We got the greater one that lives on the inside of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He dwells in us. By acknowledging every good thing which is in us, it causes the sharing of our faith to be more effective, more powerful. Say this with me. Because the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead,
because the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead,
lives in me.
I've got the goods.
So let's take this revelation and do something with it. I said, let's take this revelation and do something with it, just like Angela was talking about this morning, witnessing to people, sharing Jesus with people. And you would be amazed at the things that will come out of your mouth when you take that step of faith and start witnessing to people. And because, you know, you don't have to know everything there is to know about that person. You may have never met a person before, but the greater one lives on the inside of you, and he knows everything about everybody.
Yeah.
He knows how many hairs we have on our head or don't have on our head. He knows their past and their present, and he even knows what their future is going to be. So why should we ever be concerned about what we're going to say? We shouldn't. See, that's just thinking. What if? Like I said earlier, we got the what ifs. What ifs. So let's stop being self-conscious and start being God-conscious. Take these scriptures and let them get on the inside of you. How do I do that, Brother Larry? Well, I'm glad you asked. Put them in your mouth. Meditate on them. You know, the meditation was given by God. It wasn't given by these Eastern religions.
That's right. Amen.
It was given by God. Just think about it. In the Old Testament, in order for a young person to become a man, I don't know why they didn't acknowledge women a lot, but anyway, they had to be able to quote the Pentateuch. That's the first five books, and sometimes Psalms and Proverbs. Wow. Anyway, so let's look at what we can do with all these revelations that I've presented to you. And they're just a handful. I mean, I'm not asking you to memorize a whole book of the Bible, even though that's not a bad idea. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus is talking to us. This is a commandment. You know, when I was in the military, when I disobeyed a command, I had to pay the consequences. Now, thank God, you know, we're in the army of God, but we don't get locked up when we don't obey the commandments of God. But anyway, he says here in Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, talking to those people there and us today, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want to remind you, Philemon 1:6, it says, the sharing of our faith becomes more effective, powerful, because I acknowledge all the good things, the God things in me. So he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We'll drop down to verse 17. He said, and these signs shall follow only those that are highly anointed of God.
No.
These signs only follow the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Who are the signs supposed to follow?
Those who believe.
You know, some believers will go over this meeting and see the signs and wonders. Some will go to this meeting and see the signs and wonders. Some will go over here to this meeting and see the signs and wonders. And that's wonderful. That's good. That's how we learned how to minister. But the Bible says the signs ought to follow us.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
I said, the Bible says the signs ought to follow the believer. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. If you raised your hand earlier, all of you did, you said Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior, this ought to be operating in you. Awful quietness, Presbyterian Church. I said, these signs ought to follow us. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak in new tongues, verse 18. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I think I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. We went to Prague. It was Czechoslovakia when we went. They had a Velvet Revolution. It became Czech Republic and Slovakia. But we had these landlords. And the man was an atheist, and the woman was curious. She was hungry, but wasn't born again. But we came home, and his name was Yarda, her name was Mirka. We came home one day, and Yarda was very distraught. They lived above us in this, it was a communist townhouse. No paint on the walls. Outside, that is. Anyway, Yarda was distraught. And I said, what's wrong? He says, Mirka's in the hospital, and the doctor said she's dying with cancer, and she's got 6 months to live. We said, well, could we go to the hospital and pray for her? Guess what the atheist said? Yes. So we went to the hospital, went up to her floor, and she was in a ward with about 15 women, socialized medicine. It's free, you know. We don't want that here. Amen. I won't get off on that tangent. But anyway, so she came out into the hallway. We had our Czech Bible, and we had her read this passage of Scripture, Mark 16, 15 through the end of the chapter. And she says, but I don't believe. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost can teach you as you teach others. Because the Holy Ghost said, you don't have to believe. The Bible says the believers, Angela and I qualify. Well, the hands on the sick, you qualify. All we need is your permission. It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. It said, isn't that what the Bible says? These signs will follow the believers. The believers will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. We do the believing. All we need is people's permission. I said, all we need is people's permission. Now, if they say no, you know, or start arguing with you, then don't waste your time or theirs either. But if they'll let you. So anyway, we laid hands on Mirka. She let us lay hands on her, and as far as we know, she's still alive today. And eventually she got born again. I don't know about her husband. But thank God. You know, God's word works, but you got to work it. I'm going to say that again. God's word always works, but you've got to work it. And like I said, if I lay hands on somebody and see no results, that's not my responsibility. All my responsibility is to lay hands on people. The results is left up to God and the people. But I do have to believe, because if I didn't believe, I'd never take a step of faith and lay my hands on people. In services, if we didn't believe these scriptures, we would never lay our hands on you. But we do believe the scriptures, and we see results. And we're not taking any credit for anything. It's all because the word of God is powerful. And you get it on the inside of you, you can't help yourself. I said, you can't help yourself. You'll start doing what Jesus said we could do. So anyway, verse 20. Let's read that. I got to preaching and forgot almost where I was at. And he said, they went out. Who went out? The people that read this. The people that heard this. The people that Jesus told this. Said they went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. The Lord will always work with you when you act on the word of God. Come on now. I said the word God, the Lord will always work with you to confirm what you tell people or to confirm your actions. It said they went out and they preached everywhere. Now you may not have to spit and walk around like I do. I mean, my friend David, he sat me down at the kitchen table and just showed me scripture after scripture. Showed me how much God loved me, how much God wanted to deliver me from those drugs I'd got myself bound up in, how much God wanted to heal me, how much God wanted to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I just prayed a simple prayer and asked Jesus, because I'd been born again as a child, but I backslid for over 13 years. And I asked Jesus to come back in my life, be my Savior again. I just said one simple thing. I want everything I saw in your word. And when I said that, whew, man, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came on me and knocked the devil right out of me. I got healed. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I got delivered just at my mother's house all by myself after David had spent a couple hours just showing me what the Word said. It was the Word. See, I know the power of the Word of God. And I'd been in and out of penitentiary. I'd been in and out of drug rehabilitation programs. And the drug rehab programs told me, Larry, there's no hope for you. But Jesus is a great hope.
Praise God. Praise God.
I'm so thankful. Man, what if David had kept what he knew to himself? Yeah. What if you keep what you know to yourself? It's time for the church to grow up and step into the place that the blood of Jesus has provided for us and act like sons and daughters of Almighty God and start doing the works he said we could do. They went out and they preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word. Confirming the word. Confirming the word. Aren't you glad you don't get Reader's Digest here for our sermon? Thank God you got a good pastor that loves God and loves you and loves the Word of God. And is stood strong even though hell tried to come against him. They went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them, confirming the Word with accompanying signs. Let me read this to you out of the Passion Translation. The Lord himself consistently worked with them, validating the message they preached, validated the message that they preached. See, you got to give the Lord something to work with. We've got to give the Lord something to work with. Validating the message they preach with miracle signs that accompany them. You get on the internet or you get on the telephone and you call the pizza company. And in 15, 20 minutes, you hear a knock on the door and there's a delivery person with a pizza that you ordered. Now, most of the time, the person that delivers the pizza didn't have anything to do with making the pizza, did they? Except some of these places got help wanted. Anyway, we won't go in there. We won't go down that path. But the delivery person, they didn't make the pizza. They didn't put the ingredients on the pizza. They didn't put the pizza in the oven. They didn't cut the pizza and put it in the box and then get in their car and bring it to you. We're like the delivery person. We don't have the goods except what Jesus gave us. We don't know what to say, but he does. Come on. We're just the delivery person, people. There's nothing for us to be prideful for or ashamed about. All we're doing is say, here I am. You ordered this. And they may not even ordered it. The Holy Ghost may prompt you. Angela said, shared this morning. We're in Columbus, Ohio, and all of a sudden, I knew we need to talk to the waitress. Now, we don't do that as a common practice, but the Holy Spirit says the waitress needs to hear about me. And I started, and the pastor jumped in. Anyway, long story short, she got born again, and he ended up giving her a big tip, and she got saved. We're just the delivery person. We've got the goods. Come on, we got the goods because greater is he that's in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. We've got the goods. We got everything we need to do what he told us to do.
Amen.
All we have to do is be obedient and deliver it. And just think about it. The miracle that's on the end of that. Like I said about David that got me saved or got me back to the Lord. What if he said, well, that old Larry, me and David used to deal drugs together. And then I got off and got crazy and came back. And he got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and started learning the Word of God. Enough that he could sit down at the kitchen table and show me what I needed to hear. The Holy Spirit inspired him and showed him. He wasn't preaching and waving his hands and jumping off the stage and stuff. We're sitting at his kitchen table. Most of your encounters with people are going to be just in normal, everyday experiences. And they're hurting. Some of them have been in church all their life and don't know diddly squat. Y'all probably know that term, don't you? You're good. That's a good southern term. Don't know anything, for those of you that didn't understand that. Go with me to John 14:12. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I'd gotten a job with David after I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and got into a good church like this. And just reading my Bible one day, it was raining because David had a painting business. And we were painting houses outside, so we couldn't work outside. And I'm just reading my Bible. And I went to church for a few years. My granddaddy, my daddy's daddy, was a Baptist preacher. But I'm just reading, and this scripture jumped off the page and got on the inside of me, and it ruined me. You know what that means? Ruined me.
Amen.
In a good way. John 14:12. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, I did. You did. You raised your hand. This is what the Bible says right along with Mark 16. This is what we can do with what's on the inside of us. He who believes in me, the works I do, will do also, and greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. Greater works. Greater works. But you know, let's don't be concerned about doing the greater works. Let's just do the works first. If we do the works first, maybe we'll find out what the greater works are. Let me read this to you out of the Passion Translation. He said, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to the Father. Wow. But see, most of the time, this is the mentality that we have. Jesus is in this, he shows us a 10-acre field out here, and he jumps in his satellite-motivated GPS, what do you call those things?
Combine
with the air conditioning. He gets in it, and just in a short period of time, 10 acres of field is harvested. And then he says, you believe on me, the works I do. And then in our mind, he gives us this. And we're expected to do the same thing that he did in the combine. This is a pen knife, you didn't know. But we don't have that. We don't have a pen knife. We jump in that same combine that he's in.
Amen.
Why? Because greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. We have the same equipment. It would be wrong for God to tell us to do the same things Jesus did without giving us the same equipment to do what Jesus, to enable Jesus to do what he did.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
My goodness. By acknowledging every good or every God thing which is in us causes the sharing of our faith to be more effective and more powerful. We got the goods, people. I said, we got the goods. Say, I've got the goods.
I've got the goods.
And I'm going to use the goods.
And I'm going to use the goods.
I'm going to be effective for God.
I'm going to be effective for God.
I'm going to open my mouth. And he said he would fill it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. 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 Well, if you have pain in your body, let us minister to you first. I think Angela has a few things. Well, if you have pain in your body, we want to minister to you.